KZ ballot breakdown.
Ballot breakdown.
Broomhead breaks down who and what are on your ballot. KZ ballot breakdown.
Yeah, we are going to get to the poll numbers in a moment and how the trial of former President Trump is affecting it. But this Pew Research poll, and producer Julia did great work on this. The Pew Research Foundation, more than 80% of Americans believe elected officials don't care what people like them think. So people have always been cynical of the government. That's one of the things that is so interesting is the number of politicians that continue to win re-election when overall the sentiment is negative is always surprised me. And I look at this and I think we're running our government because we run it. Our votes are going to run it. You hear people complain. They complained about Nancy Pelosi for years and years and years. She keeps her job. On the other side of the aisle, Mitch McConnell. Republicans complained about Mitch McConnell for years and years and years and years. He kept his job. There are people that are immensely unpopular that keep their jobs. They win re-election. It's got to be the way it is. I'm not saying we should change the way we vote. It is called the People's House for a reason. We send someone to represent our beliefs, and they have a vote in the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. But overall, more than 80% of Americans believe elected officials do not care what people think of them or think. Yeah, people like them think. The reason why this is frustrating to me, and by the way, at 10:35, so in 30 minutes from right now, we're going to speak with the county recorder about the election and how independent voters, what you have to do in order to vote in the primary. You don't have to change your party affiliation, but you do have to ask for a ballot. How you do that if you're voting early? What happens if you show up at the polls? We're going to get all those questions answered for you. But it is interesting to me when we talk about elected officials that they don't care what you think. Well, they don't care what you think because you don't vote. And I'll be honest, you know, why should they? Why would they? I know that the president of the United States has absolutely no concern for what I think, nor should he. I'm never voting for him. He's never going to get my vote. So he doesn't have to worry about me. I'm not one of the people he's trying to convince. On the other side of that, you have a Republican candidate does not care what liberal Democrats think about them. You're never going to vote for them, so they don't care what you think. But it does surprise me that those people that are either running for office or have been elected and are running for re-election to office are not concerned with those voices and independent voters that haven't made a choice yet. In this case, these people that are being polled are people that are saying they don't care what I think. Well, they don't care what you think because they don't think you make a choice. They don't think you matter in the decision. Anybody that has an ounce of self-preservation in them is concerned. I say all the time, I don't care what people on social media say. I don't, because 99% of the people that talk about me on social media don't listen to the show. They're regurgitating what somebody else said, and they're never going to listen to this show. My job is to get as many people to listen to this show as possible, and I am absolutely concerned about that. I want you to be informed. I want you to like to listen. That is my job, and I want to do the best job I can, understanding that there are going to be people that don't like me. I don't care that those people don't like me. They don't listen anyway. They're not my concern. If I hear from someone that says, I listen to your show every day and I can't believe you said that, I respond to those emails. Thank you for listening. What was it that upset you? Because I don't want to lose you as a listener. I don't want to lose you. You're engaging. You are someone that I know that in order for me to keep my job, I have to keep you entertained. I have to keep you listening. I have to keep you on my side. Politicians are no different. If they want to keep their job, they have to be concerned about the people that vote and the ones that are possibly going to vote for them. So you look at the polling and you look at what's happening, the Trump trial, and how is it going and what is it doing to the poll numbers? Well, I'll tell you, it's doing nothing. Right now, it's doing nothing. And depending on what news source you get, if you go to MSNBC, he might go to prison for the rest of his life for these horrible crimes he's committed. If you go to Fox News, this is all a joke and it's going to get thrown out of court. So right now, people are looking at this, and there's a large number of people in the public opinion arena that are saying if this were anybody else and not Donald Trump, they would have never brought these charges. So it isn't affecting the poll numbers. I'm not saying it's not going to eventually, but right now it's not changing the polls. People are worried about the economy. When you keep looking at that, the border is another huge issue. And the abortion issue, we do know that Republicans are losing on the abortion issue in some areas. But how about this? Catholics in the United States have swung dramatically against President Biden in recent years, now boasting a significant statistical break toward the GOP. That would be Donald Trump. Pew Research said the poll found that 55% of Catholics support lean toward supporting former President Donald Trump in a head-to-head matchup against Joe Biden. That has a lot to do with the stance on abortion. It has a lot to do with the stance on abortion. So obviously I'm a Republican, and I know for a fact that Republicans are concerned about the abortion issue and what it's going to do for Democrat candidates. I'm not diminishing that, but there's another side to it. Catholics, which are a hugely, immensely pro-life organization, I say that, but denomination, and they are leaning further and further toward the former president. So we don't know what's going to happen in November, and I wouldn't put a bet on anybody and who's going to win this race. But when you look at what people are saying, and it's not just the presidential race, we've got an immense Senate race here in the state of Arizona. We've got important races in our state legislature. This is the part of it that's interesting to me. We are compelled and we are so enamored with the presidential race, and that's we should be. To a certain degree, we are also so focused on the Senate race, and we should be. The balance of the United States Senate may end up falling with the vote in Arizona. But our state legislature has a one-seat majority for Republicans in the House and the Senate. If you are a Republican like I am, the biggest concern you should have is Republican control of the House and the Senate. We have a Democrat governor who is already putting up a bunch of vetoes against Republicans. And so you are kind of at odds with the administration. And if you want to be checks and balances for the next couple of years, that's something you want to hold on to. If you're a Democrat, you're thinking for the first time in a lifetime, we could have Democrats could control at least one of those two chambers, which would mean that a lot of the Republican pieces of legislation that have passed won't pass. Now, the governor's been the veto stamp against a lot of them anyway. But if you're a Democrat, you're encouraged in thinking we have been chipping away at this for a long time. This may be where the final domino falls. And if you live in Arizona, those races in those districts, and there are 5, 6, 7 districts that are swing districts that could go Republican or Democrat that will decide the power and control of the House and the Senate. As an Arizona voter, you ought to be engaged and really concerned about who you're going to vote for on either side of the aisle, because I guarantee you control of the House and the Senate is going to be a bigger impact on your life immediately than the Senate race or the presidential race. And I'm anxious to see how many people actually do look at it that way. In a moment, a U.S. hiring misses expectations in April. What do the jobs numbers mean to you? We'll get to that coming up here in just one moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Good day to get Rick Rolled, Friday. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us. We've been talking a lot about the economy. Coming up bottom of the hour, so just about 15 minutes from right now, Stephen Richer will join us. Stephen is the county recorder for Maricopa County with a lot of information about the election coming up, the primary election. If you're an independent voter, a party non-declared voter, what you need to do to get your early ballot, make sure you have that information. We're going to talk about being an election worker and how they're doing in the recruiting of all of those things. We'll get an update on the multitude of things. He'll join us in about 15 minutes from right now. U.S. hiring slowed to 175,000 jobs. More people are doing gig work or are using pay apps to for their side hustle or for their businesses than ever before. All of these things are telltale signs of what's happening. I'm not a doom and gloom person. Arizona's economy is humming along very, very well. You're going to see a lot of the president of the United States in Arizona because they believe they can win Arizona. And in order to win Arizona, he's going to have to win voters over on the border issue and on the economy issue. I understand that abortion has become a big issue here in Arizona. I think it's going to be bigger in Arizona than it will be in some other states because of what's recently happened. So we'll see what the legislature comes up with and where that ends up falling in the decision making for some people. But the economy still is at the top of the list, along with the border. And we're going to get to the border a little bit later. But the issue now with hiring, jobs are slowing down. It was 175,000. It was predicted to be around 300,000. So it's a pretty significant slowdown. So if you look at what happened last month, the GDP growth of the gross domestic product was at 1.6%, a dramatic slowdown. Inflation ticking at about 3.5%. We are not just seeing persistent inflation. It ticks up a little bit. That doesn't mean it's going to continue down that path. It could be that last month, the numbers that came out last month, the month before, were an anomaly. It could be that March was an anomaly. But now we're looking at the job numbers for April. They are missing the goal. We are going to get GDP. We are going to get inflation numbers coming up as well. If we continue to see the jobs slow down, if production slows down, and we continue to see sticky inflation, that stagflation moniker is going to begin to stick with some people. And that is, again, these are all political terms. Recession, all of this stuff is a political football that people want to fight about. In the end, where are people? In Arizona right now, we are still paying higher than the national average for gasoline. Not Joe Biden's fault. This has to do with production. This has to do with delivery. It has to do with the blend of fuel we use this time of year. So that part of it is not the fault of the White House. There's things our legislative leaders could do in Arizona to help moderate some of these spikes. But we also have to understand, when you feel it, leadership pays a price. When it comes to food prices, there have been a number of things that are concerning to me about how they're handled. Number one, first and foremost, is I'm an observer. I have my positions and I vocalize them because I don't, you can figure them out, but I don't run from my bias. I don't run from where my opinions come from. I want you to understand exactly where I'm coming from. Working class family, my mom had very little when we were growing up. I certainly have never been a silver spoon kid, been a blue collar worker my whole life, and I'm a small government person. I don't want a handout. I don't want a hand up. I just want an opportunity. Get out of my way and let me work. That's how I've always been my whole life. That's just where my political beliefs come from. The government should be as small as possible to do the basics of what it needs to do. The rest of it should be left to the local jurisdictions, and it also should be left to individual liberties. That's just my opinion on it. When it comes to what's happening, the president of the United States and everybody associated with him told us we were not going to have high inflation, and it certainly wasn't going to last very long. They were wrong, and they ran from that, and it's going to come up in the president. If there are debates, it's going to come up. And we're going to hear the other side of it, and job growth and more jobs have been paying wages. And in the end, you're paying thousands of dollars more. And we were told it wasn't going to happen. That was concerning to me. We were either lied to and they knew it was going to happen, but for political reasons, they lied to us, or they didn't know that they really believed that inflation was transitory. Either one is a scary proposition. That starts there. So now when we hear from them about other things, it's hard to trust that they know what they're doing. They've responded too little, too late on many different things. When we talk about the border later, the administration response has been too little, too late. Now they're bringing in some kind of a consultant, a border expert, a migrant. It just seems to be too little, too late. But when it comes to your personal economy, when it comes to how the country is doing, the plans they are making for businesses, if this president gets reelected, if the Democrats maintain control of the Senate, and if they gain control of the House, the tax cuts that were put in place are going to expire, which means business taxes are going up. So big and small businesses in Arizona, number one in growth in manufacturing, your taxes are going up. Your profits are going down, your taxes are going up. Small businesses, which are the lifeblood of the Arizona economy, if you own a small business, your taxes are going up. Period. That's the end of story. That's how it's going to work. And they want to raise the capital gains tax. They're continuing to grow the size of government. And I think that's why the inflation remains high. Until we have leadership that is willing to say, we have got to reverse course. We've got to shrink the size of the federal government, shrink local and state government as much as we can, get lean and mean with the government, then you're going to see prices come down. Until then, inflation is going to remain very high. That's how it works. All right, coming up in just a moment, our guest is going to be Stephen Richer. He is the Maricopa County Recorder. He runs the elections. He's in charge of early voting in Maricopa County. If you are a party non-declared voter, the first question is going to be about what you need to do to get a ballot to vote in the primary in July. All that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, I don't know about you, but when I think Metallica, I think Stephen Richer. That's, I think, County Recorder Stephen Richer. He joins us now. Stephen, welcome back.
Oh, boy. I will take that. I think that gives me a harder edge than most people would probably associate with me. But I like it.
Let's talk a little bit about the election. I'm glad you've kept your sense of humor. Let's talk primary. First and foremost, let's inform the party non-declared independent voters. How do they get their ballots? If they're voting early, what do they have to do in order to vote in the primary?
That's right. So they have to unlearn what we just told them for the March presidential primary. That was the race that you could choose between, you know, Joe Biden and his competitors or Donald Trump and his competitors. But now we're talking about the statewide primaries where you'll be voting on the Republican candidates or the Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate, U.S. House, legislature, so on and so forth. And that's July 30th. So independents, party not declared members, can vote in this upcoming July 30th primary. All they have to do is they have to let us know whether they want a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. And the reason why it's great to be on today, Mike, is because we just mailed out to everyone who's on the active early voting list. If you're an independent on the active early voting list, then you'll have in your mailbox a nice little card that just says, pick whether you want the Republican ballot or the Democratic ballot. All you have to do is mark it and then put it back in the mail, and you'll get that ballot when it's time.
Now, what happens if an independent or party non-declared voter goes to the polls on election day?
That's totally fine. You'll just show up and you'll say, we'll say, which ballot do you want? And we'll give you either the Republican ballot or the Democratic ballot. Or if you don't return that card and, you know, it's 2 months from now and it's still July, so it's still before the primary, you can go online to request.maricopa.vote, or you can call or email my office. Just the only thing different from normal election for independents and party not declared is they do have to make which ballot they want.
All right, so let's talk about election workers. I know there's been a big push in Maricopa County to get election workers. What positions do you need? Are you meeting your recruiting goals? Are we going to have enough people to man the election for on election day and to count votes? Are you going to have enough people to do all those things? And how do people do it if they want to?
We're doing well. We and the Board of Supervisors are putting a lot of effort into it. And so it's going well, but we'd still love to have you. And this is a process that's open to anyone. All you have to do is be a registered Arizona voter. We want Republicans. We want Democrats. We want Libertarians. We want Independents. And if you're somebody who wants to know more about this process, then this is a wonderful way to get involved. And they are paid. So pay ranges from $14 an hour to $19 an hour, depending on the responsibility. So it can be anything from driving box trucks to working in our warehouse, to working at a voting location, to doing signature verification, to taking the ballots out of the envelopes, or to be working in that important tabulation process. So whole range of things. We'll be hiring close to 3,000 temporary workers. And again, it's going to be from all political stripes and all backgrounds. We want you to be part of this process.
Is the animosity in the elections and the argument about election integrity and the lawsuits and the other things you've been involved in, is this hurting your recruiting of people? Are people shying away from the job because they're concerned?
I think some people are, but the sheriff's office, the local PDs, the board of supervisors, my office, we've really gone out of our ways. We've committed a lot of effort to make sure that everyone who's part of this process feels supported, feels safe. And I think that you'll see that whether you vote at our, or whether you go to a voting location, or whether you work at our central facility. And so, yeah, we've actually had a lot of people who have been very interested and maybe more committed than ever. And we've had a lot of people come back. The more challenging aspect has been to recruit voting locations. I think a lot of people say this and see this and they say, well, I don't want this type of tomfoolery going on at my place of worship or something like that. But we're lucky in that we have had quite a few places of worship really step up. And so I think the Board of Supervisors is planning about 235 voting locations for the general election. And so we're going to be good on all fronts, but there still are openings. And if you're somebody who wants to work the process, then we'd love to have you. All you have to do is go to getinvolved.maricopa.vote.
You know, and it's an excellent point that I didn't think of. If there are people out there that have a building or have a facility that could be used as a voting location, a polling place, is there, how do they do that? The same place that they would go if they wanted to be an election worker?
Just reach out to our office. That's a conversation that we'd always love to have. It has to be ADA compliant. It has to have sufficient parking. It has to have sufficient space. But we're always on the lookout, especially for locations that are nearby public transit or major road arteries. And we appreciate that greatly because it's not something that state law says all the schools have to close down and they have to give us our locations or something like that. And so we do, what is the saying? We have to rely on the kindness of strangers, I think was said in Gone with the Wind or something like that.
Yeah. And Arizona always has stepped up. I mean, they've always been able, and when they're able, they've always been available is what I meant to say.
Arizonans have done a great job. We had a very successful presidential preference election. People behaved themselves. People stepped up as workers. People stepped up as hosts of voting locations. We're really grateful to the LDS community in the East Valley really stepped up and offered up quite a few voting locations that they didn't previously do before. So we're grateful for that. And we're feeling good about this process. But it's always confusing for independents to know which elections they can participate in, which they can't. And so that's why I appreciated the opportunity to come on and let people know that if you're an independent, you can participate in this upcoming July primary. You just have to let us know. And the easiest way to do that is just to return that card that we've already sent to you by mail.
Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer is joining us talking about the primary election that happens on July 30th. Do you think now with this recent Arizona Supreme Court decision that we finally put to bed all of the challenges in the 2024 and 2022 elections?
I don't. I think that that's just going to be part of the process. And as long as Arizona is a hyper-competitive state, then I think it's going to attract a lot of litigation. And look, that's okay because that's the appropriate place to adjudicate any disputes of facts and laws. And I think we have a wonderful court system with lots of really good judges and lots of really good attorneys that can you know, tease these things out and get a ruling in the courts. And so it's just going to be something that we're going to have to learn to live with, and you're going to see lots of headlines, but hopefully that doesn't distract from, you know, the important issues that we have here in Arizona and the fact that our voices are incredibly meaningful. It's a alarming time in some ways to be in Arizona, but it's an exciting time to be in Arizona because Washington, D.C. cares a lot about what Arizona thinks right now, and that maybe hasn't always been the case.
Do you want to update us on your situation on the lawsuit that you have that's pending and the court date that's going to be heard? Any update on that?
So we're waiting for a scheduling order. So Ms. Lake defaulted in that. So judgment has been will be entered saying that she defamed me. And then we'll find out what the schedule looks like for discovery and for trial to substantiate damages. And so that will be the last component of that. And, it'll be satisfying in that I didn't do these things, and I'm glad that's being recognized.
Stephen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you again as the election cycle moves forward.
I appreciate it, and I usually get Disney musicals and not Metallica as representative of me. So, I appreciate you giving me some more street cred.
Well, we're gonna have to change that on this show. We're gonna have to make sure you get a Pantera and Metallica and some something appropriate for your personality.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Stephen. That's Stephen Richard, the Maricopa County Recorder. He is in charge of early voting. And so as far as the early ballots go, you want to make sure if you are a party non-declared or what's known as an independent voter, you respond to that card. You let them know which of the primaries you want to vote in. If you're voting early, if you go to the polls, you just request the appropriate ballot, and that's all that you need to do. Coming up in a moment, we're going to go back to the topic of immigration, the number of Border Patrol agents that have been assaulted just this year, and also more updates on the illegalities and the president bringing in somebody new on the team. All of that's coming up here in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, last chance to win tickets to see the Rolling Stones, State Farm Stadium, May 7th. Head to the contest page at KTAR.com for complete details and your opportunity to win. All right, the issue of immigration continues to grow and grow, and there's a couple of different stories that I found interesting, but I want to start with one I didn't start with earlier. Biden brings in a new key migration advisor, Marcela Escobari, who spent much of her career working in Latin America and international development, is now running point on the issue at the November Security Council. This is an advisor to tackle the unprecedented levels of migration throughout the Americas. So this, if you go back to the beginning of this administration, I want you to think about this. The beginning of this administration, what happened when on the topic of immigration, the president of the United States appointed the vice president of the United States to be the border czar. And her job at the time, what she said she was going to do to try to address this problem, A, they were going to try to get billions of dollars from the Congress to give to Central American countries to bolster their economies and stabilize the countries so people didn't want to leave and come to America, which I think is a bit of a false narrative because people are always going to want to come to America. But it was going to drop the numbers. She was going to have meetings in those countries. She was going to have a meeting in Mexico. She was going to get working on this. Then people began to ask her, are you going to visit the U.S. border? Are you going to visit our southern border? And the question was asked so frequently that she actually, she has a habit, and I know it's not intentional, but it's a habit. And when she gets nervous, and a lot of people do this, she laughs. And it sounds inappropriate, is kind of inappropriate in that setting, but she laughed, she giggled and said, not today. And it's kind of a nervous tick, a nervous reaction. She made one visit to the border. She went to El Paso, Texas. She gave a speech, took a couple of pictures, and we've never heard from her again on the issue. Never once have we heard, as far as I know, from the vice president on this issue. She's been to Arizona a number of times. She's come here to talk about the abortion topic and other things. The first lady is going to be here, I believe, at the commencement for Mesa Community College. Nothing about this in a border state. The abortion issue happens in Arizona. They sprint to Arizona to make comments about abortion and protecting women's rights to abortion. They sprint here for that. They're in the state, nothing about the border issue. Now, the president of the United States is bringing in a different person to do exactly the same thing the vice president said she was going to do over, almost 4 years ago. Almost 4 years ago. So it's frustrating, obviously, to many of us, and I think it's the reason why you're going to see, I had a press release yesterday, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to Let's see. Yeah, let me read something to you. I got this yesterday. It is going to be, it's called a strike everything. I don't want to go into the details. A striker on HCR 2060, which will be a ballot referral asking voters to approve a Secure the Border Act. This proposal is based on Texas SB 4. But the policy is currently on hold as it's being litigated in federal court. If upheld, meaning this piece of, initiative, this referendum you would get to vote on. If the SB 4 is upheld in the federal court, Arizona would have the opportunity to enforce the same measure upon approval by the Arizona voters during the 2024 general election. The Secure the Border Act establishes in Arizona law border-related crimes with subsequent punishments. Local, county, or state law enforcement officers would be granted authority to arrest any non-U.S. citizen who illegally enters Arizona outside of a port of entry, as well as those who have previously been ordered to leave but are refusing to comply. So that's what has been the outcome of this. Also, in what are called swing districts, these are districts that are not heavy blue or heavy red. If they are moderate districts, 13 Democrats across the country, none of them from Arizona, by the way, none of them from Arizona. 13 Democrats have sided with the Republicans on a resolution denouncing the Biden administration's immigration policies. It passed 223 to 191 with 13 Democrats siding with the Republicans. That is showing you that people understand in a swing district, if you're not heavy dark blue, that the border issue is something you better be paying attention to. According to this press release about this HCR 2060 in Arizona, migrant encounters skyrocketed by 133% just this year compared to the same time last year. Nearly 350,000 people have entered our country illegally. Have entered our country illegally through the Tucson sector during the first 6 months of 2024. This invasion has brought local, county, state, and federal enforcement agencies to their breaking point. So the voters in Arizona are going to have a chance to vote on this. What happened in El Paso when people stormed the border and did damage and hurt people. They assaulted National Guard soldiers. One of the migrants that was accused in that, a 22-year-old, is one of two accused riot instigators who were released by the Border Patrol following the incident. They remain on the run. So they have bolted and they are on the run. These are the kinds of things that have Americans souring on immigration as a whole. I don't like it. I think what we should be doing is bolstering our border security so that we can control who comes and goes into this country. And then we should have an immigration system that Americans can be proud of. That's the most frustrating part of all of this, is we deserve as Americans to be proud of the immigration system we have, so that when we hold up immigrants and say these are the people that have left, go talk to a Cuban immigrant about communism. I defy you. Go and listen to what they have to say about the greatness of the opportunities in America. Those are the stories I would much rather be talking about, and I do. I still tell those stories to remind you of the greatness of American immigration when it's done the right way. We are hearing great stories from people all over the world, but instead we continue to have this fight. It needs to be controlled. The majority of Americans agree with it, and I think come November there are going to be decisions made and there's accountability to be had. Just after 11 o'clock, we are going to go back to the topic of protesters and what are they demanding, why are they demanding it, and are they making sense? Next.